Patrice K. Armstead, and I'm a community organizer. I'm from Philadelphia, born and raised, grew up majority of my life in West Philadelphia. And my involvement with the Peace Park, I've known Brother Tommy for quite some time, and I knew of his work, and I knew what he was doing in North Philadelphia. But I had never, gone down there to, really witness it for myself. So one day I was just like, I just want to go down there because he had been telling me to come past. And I just popped up one day and I just seen, this huge sunflower that was, maybe the size of my head. And my head's not all that small. I seen this, huge, it was just, this humongous sunflower. And it was, a beautiful day, but for some reason that day, that sun was just, shining. And then I seen these greens, and I seen these other beautiful flowers, and then I seen cabbage. And, everything just looked like you could just pick it up and just, eat it right then and there.
Yeah.
And then I seen the children, helping, and I was just in awe. It was just like an oasis or something. It was just so, so beautiful how, all these folks were just working together collectively and finding out that these vegetables that they were growing, that they was getting out to the community and specifically to the residents across the street in the public housing. And ever since then, I was just like, what he's doing, I'm like, that should be duplicated, all over the city. He had reached out to me, and we had met, and we were talking, and that's when he told me about that the Peace Park was under attack and what was going on in that community. And, at first I was just thinking that it was maybe just, some private developers that was coming in interested in the land, and specifically the land where the Peace Park was on, but then I found out that it was actually, the city that was a part of it, and it was a part of the Choice Neighborhoods grant. And just to go back a little, I being a victim of gentrification, being priced out of my community, that was something that I'm very passionate about, and doing research and working around gentrification, advocating for affordable housing, it's been around 13 years now. So I'm very familiar with Choice Neighborhood, how it works, how they come in and really displace folks under the name of urban renewal, transformation, and all these little fine words that they have.
Yeah. Now, some people might say that gentrification is not a bad thing. I've heard people try to argue for it and say, oh, look, these communities are run down and there's so much crime there. Maybe it's good that the city's coming in and they're trying to, they say they're going to revitalize the community, but what does that really mean to you? And what would you say to people who have this idea that gentrification is actually a good thing?
Yeah, you hear that a lot. And normally, sometimes it's the folks that's in the community that say that. Oftentimes, sometimes it's the homeowners. But them not knowing that when that happens, that their property taxes are going to go up. And then the ones who, and then you have other folks that's saying it that have their own self-interest. They say, it's a bigger issue. So, it's crime in this community. communities impoverished, why not go in and pour resources, right? Because gentrifying the community is not going to stop crime in the city, okay? Because their poverty is reconcentrated somewhere else. So it's not really solving anything, you know? So say if Choice Neighborhood is done, the North Philly Peace Park is no longer there, you know, we had these beautiful, you know, market rate homes, and you still have a few low-income people living there, and, you know, and they crime may go down. But the so-called crime and poverty is somewhere else now.
Right.
So have we really got rid of the problem? And see, the real problem is not so much the crime, because it may have been crime. And, you know, it was crime in the community, right? And it was drug dealing on that block. But you know what? When the peace park came, those drug dealers seen what they were doing, and the drug dealing on the block stopped.
Right, right. I think that's a good
you
point
know?
To make, because
yes.
I remember when that whole peace park first got started, and I remember Tommy was looking for a spot, and Occupy Philly vacant lots had the first place they had chosen to do like their experiment with this urban gardening thing with Occupy was right next to where Brother Tommy lived at the time, and I think it was the Gilbert Shoes, and he had to explain to them that, you know, this is not a good spot to do this because this neighborhood is already undergoing like really heavy gentrification, and that putting you know, on that major, I think that's on what street is that right there, Ridge. Yeah,
Ridge,
so making an urban garden right there on Ridge Avenue near Broad Street would just really help gentrify the neighborhood. So they wanted to put it somewhere like deeper in the community, right across from a really, you know, like people who really would need fresh fruit and fresh vegetables, and kids who needed a place to play. So he really had a vision for where this spot should be. And I remember the first time going there and seeing, like, all the weeds. And, you know, there was, like, baggies, you know, like you said, there were people dealing drugs. So there was, like, the baggies of the drugs and, like, crack vials and broken glass. And people from the community came out. And when they saw people cleaning up there, they came out, helped us clean up that whole lot. And like you said, now it's totally different because people feel invested. They feel like they have a say in what goes on there now, you know?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Just mention the fact that the North Philly Peace Park was birthed out of the Occupy movement. And I'm just so glad that you mentioned it, because that's important. But, yes, you're correct. And, you know, brother seen, you know, this other young black brother, and, you know, these other brothers like yourself that was out there assisting and helping, seeing children, you know, what does that look like? And I'm selling drugs, right? So they stopped because they respected what was going on in that community. And they seen that this young brother cares.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I think that the North Philly Peace Park has done, I mean, you know, I say with their, you know, anytime you are feeding a community, right? I mean, that's one of the most revolutionary things that you can do. And it's coming out of the principle of the Black Panther Party. A lot of what Tommy does, you know, he utilizes those principles. So it's just a beautiful thing. And Choice Neighborhoods coming in and taking that land, and we can't let that happen. Like, we can't lose the North Philly Peace Park. We can't stop feeding, because that community is a food desert.
Right.
You know, when you look at the geographics, where's the closest supermarket? It's, I believe, the one on Bull Street, the Fresh Grocer. I'm really sitting here thinking, like, and then that supermarket, you can't really get any, like, really decent stuff. You go in there, and the stuff just doesn't even look great. It doesn't look fresh. You're not going to get the same vegetables you would get from the Peace Park in the Fresh Grocer.
Right, and this is what Dr. Montero was talking about when at the county fair you mentioned that happened a few weeks ago, and he said that the Peace Park should be a place where people in Philadelphia take a stand against gentrification, because of some of the things that you mentioned, like the fact that here we have a situation where people, they're taking the initiative. We're finally getting some self-determination for a black community, and the city and the government wants to come in and just destroy all that. And for people who maybe might say, well, gentrification is such a huge, force. Like, what can I, as one person, do against it? Like, what would you say to that person who maybe wants to do something, but they're just feeling like a little bit overwhelmed, and they think that maybe it might be too big of a struggle? What would you say to someone like that?
Well, I would say, you don't have to fight by yourself because it's organizations that are really standing strong and standing their ground against gentrification. The movement with the North Philly Peace Park, you have Yorktown that waged a struggle against Temple for about, the William Penn, and that still is up in the air because the Yorktown are very organized, and they have a lawyer, and they're fighting Temple. So, and there's a lot of other, organizations. Some, but I will be honest though, it's a lot of anti-gentrification, so-called anti-gentrification. Yorktown, I know for sure, is one that I definitely will stand with them because I know what they're about. And I know that they haven't compromised, but you have some supposedly anti gentrification, but they say that we're okay. How can they say that we're not so much against gentrification, but we are against displacement? And
What?
I'm not gonna
Okay.
name these organizations, but they are. They, you know, it, you know, because it doesn't make any sense. You can't be against gentrification and then say you're against displacement because it doesn't make any. Because that's what gentrification does.
Right,
But
right.
see, these organizations are under the umbrella of CDCs, right? And then they have committees that fight or advocate for affordable housing. But yet, and still, at the end of the day, they really are developers because they build. And a lot of these CDCs see that they can no longer stay afloat, which is building affordable housing. So they want to begin, like THA is doing, they want to begin building market rate housing.
Right, because it's not
But you
profitable
can't
to help people.
do that. Right.
Right.
So they want to do both. They want to do both because they want to keep a nonprofit. So they want to do both. But why doing both? You're really selling out your constituents.
No, there's something in this packet that you mentioned that I think is really important for people to understand, like when they're trying to wrap their head around why fighting for the North Philly Peace Park is such an important issue right now. And you talked about the Choice Neighborhood Initiative and how
Yes.
that's related to this
Hold six.
no this there's something else, this one-to-one replacement law that
Oh, yeah.
they actually they it used to be a law, but HUD, what is HUD again? Housing and Urban Development. That's
Housing and urban development,
right.
right.
So they There's, it sounds like they're like a nonprofit or like a government agency that is supposed to be on the side of poor people, but
Right.
they actually challenged Congress to do away with the one-to-one replacement law. Like, what does that mean, and why is
Right.
that important?
Yeah, that's very, very, very important because the one-to-one replacement was a law that protected residents that was in public housing. And it protected you in a sense and I have to be careful with using PHA because PHA stands for Philadelphia Housing Authority, but then it also stands for Public Housing Authority. So
Right.
public housing authority. So I don't. I was about to say PHA. So I'm going to say public housing authority. So the public housing authority wanted, say for instance, the public housing authority wanted to tear down a high rise that consisted of 300 apartments. So tearing down a 300 apart 300 apartments, let me go back a little. So the reason why they wanted to get rid of the one-on-one replacement is because the Public Housing Authority wanted to begin working with developers and building market-rate housing.
Okay, so
to do that, that was the whole initiative, and it actually came out of Hope 6. That's why Hope 6 was created. That's why Hope 6 is very important. And you have to understand Hope 6 to understand Choice Neighborhood. So in order for Hope 6 to work, Hope 6, the Public Housing Authority wanted to work with private developers. So they said that to get rid of these high-rises, which the city didn't want anymore, they wanted to build market-rate housing, which would be, you know, lower, you know, like a townhouses and less, you know. So, you know, we can get less built, less housing, and get and actually be able to get more money, right?
Right.
So, but to do that, you had to get rid of the one-to-one replacement, because the one-to-one replacement says for every public housing you tear down, you have to rebuild. So if you tear down a high-rise that has 300 apartments, with one-to-one replacement law existing, you had to rebuild 300 apartments.
Hmm.
So to do that, it would be no sense to utilize a Hope 6 grant, or for a city to be awarded a Hope 6 grant if they wanted to begin building market-rate housing, because you're not going to build 300 houses, right? You want to build less houses, but you're going to get more money, you know. So they took that to Congress, and they used and I forgot he's an urban urban developer. He came up with this theory called urban descent, and urban descent stated that a person who lives in poverty or who may live in a high rise, because they specifically use high rises. So if a person lives in a high rise and they live in all this poverty, they don't. Not only do they not have respect for themselves, but they don't have respect for their neighbor because of the conditions that they live in. So that kind of theory that, you know, you are your environment.
Right. Yeah.
So and that theory is really deep. But they used that in Congress to justify why they needed to get rid of one-to-one replacement, because we need to somehow mix poor people in with middle class people. So you see your neighbor getting up, sweeping in front of their house, or getting up going out to work, that's going to somehow change your mentality. And you're going to want to go out and sweep in front of your house, and you're going to want to go out and get a job and work too.
Okay. I'm just going to interrupt you for 1 second, because just listening to this, it really, I don't know, it sounds really, really shady. I mean, first of all, how did people end up in these high rises in the first place? And secondly, I mean, I think Congress knew what was going to happen with this one-to-one replacement. Because like you said, when people get displaced from their community, they just end up going somewhere else. So the poverty just kind of gets dispersed a little bit.
Right.
So it sounds like this was something that Congress worked together with HUD to make them, you know, to make them like more profitable, because the system, as we all know, is a capitalist system. So it all works on the best interest of capital, the best interest of just amassing more money, more wealth for people. So I guess like the actual livelihood of people and the best interest of the people in the communities are not really factored into these decisions, it sounds like. It sounds like most of these decisions are based on what's best for, you know, the rich and powerful people.
Oh,
and
definitely, yeah.
That's something that people have to keep in mind when we're talking about gentrification, too, for sure.
Yeah,